The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
This is End Time Headlines. It is the 29th of November. It is Monday, and we've got a good one today lined up for you guys that are watching this on Facebook or on the podcast through YouTube or through Rumble, or maybe you're watching this on, maybe you're listening to this via the Apple app through the podcast, or through Spotify. So at this time, I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. If you're new to the broadcast, whether you be watching or listening, whatever platform you be watching from or listening from, if you are able to comment anywhere on there, please let us know where you guys are joining us from. And if you are new to the broadcast, we always enjoy listening to this. So we're going to talk about today, Israel is preparing for a Messiah, but will it be Jesus? Will it be the Son of Man, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, and the ending, the first and the last? Is it going to be the Jesus, the Messiah that most of us Christians are believing and anticipating? Or is it going to be the Antichrist of the Bible? Now, you guys that have been with us for any length of time, you will know that this topic, this subject is no stranger to our broadcast. And some of you go that will be watching this that are our regular viewers are going to be wondering why we keep discussing this, why we keep bringing this up, because I believe, guys, that we need to be paying attention to this, and we need to be really studying this and watching this, because there is a Messiah anticipation that is heavy right now in Israel. And what you're seeing on the screen right here is one of the latest headlines that is dealing with this particular subject. And this one is coming out of Israel365news.com. This is the headline that came out recently. The Jewish Sanhedrin there has begun to prepare oil to anoint their king Messiah. Now, in fact, I'm going to pull up another headline. I highlighted this from just a little bit of an excerpt just from this headline. I want to read this to you. You can see this right there on your screen if you're watching this visually. After an exhaustive study into the details surrounding the oil used to anoint the high priest and kings of Israel, the Sanhedrin is moving forward to prepare enough oil, here it is, to anoint the Messiah from the house of David, who, when he returns, will rule over Israel and the Messianic era. Now you say, well, I don't really see anything. I don't really see the problem here. I don't see what the issue is here. This is clearly, talking about the Messiah that we understand as Jesus. But here's what we got to understand. I'm going to talk about this for a second. When we go to the Old Covenant, and when we go to the Old Testament, you will see and you will discover through many prophecies by prophets of the Old Testament, and we're going to put some of these on the screen here, that there appears to be what some believe. And there is some circles of even of the Jews that believe there is two Messiahs. One returned in the Old Covenant and another will return in the New. They call this the Messiah ben Joseph and the Messiah ben David. Now, we're going to explain this, so don't check out on me yet. Don't get too freaked out, because we're getting into some stuff that may be a little bit confusing. Let me pull up some scriptures here, and we're going to talk about this for a minute, and it'll get us to where we're going and where I want to go on this broadcast. When we read scriptures like Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and from the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. Remember that when we get later on. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now, when we read this, this passage of scripture presents a Messiah who delivers a message of salvation, but it offers kingship to Israel and to the world. And this Messiah that Zechariah speaks of in Zechariah 9 is a Messiah of peace for the people. He proclaims his peace to all the nations and not just to the nation of Israel. And again, so this seems to be a Messiah that will bring a peaceful reign. This is a king that has not come to fight with war, but comes in humbleness and meekness and gentleness and servanthood. Now, of course, when we read this, we understand that this was fulfilled in the New Testament when we read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and even John. And it was fulfilled through Yeshua, when he came as a lowly servant, when he came as a servant to all. He gave himself as a ransom. He humbled himself even to the point of the cross. He was taken to be scourged in Rome. He was put on trial. This would be this lowly servant. Thus, it would be fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. But the problem is, guys, that the Jews were anticipating not a Messiah of lowliness and of servanthood, and who would keep his mouth shut as he would be led to slaughter and given himself as a ransom to many and sacrifice himself, come on, as the lamb that would become the sacrificial lamb. But they were looking towards a Messiah, and they were looking for a Messiah that would be a king that would take them out of the rulership of the Roman Empire and would rule and reign with a rod of iron and set up his kingdom. And this would be known as the Messiah ben David. Now, let me give you a scripture, one of many scriptures that many of the Orthodox Jews would read in the temple, in the synagogues, and thus would fuel their belief that no, the Messiah is not Yeshua or Jesus that we understand in the New Covenant, but that's why they rejected him. But instead, they are looking for this Messiah, Zechariah 14, 2 and 4. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured. And then the Lord, Messiah, will go forth and fight against those nations. And when he fights on a day of battle, and that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move towards the north and the other half towards the south. So again, when they read this prophecy of Zechariah, they see this Lord of war, this Lord of battle, this Messiah of war, this Messiah of battle. He's coming, Jude said, out of heaven with ten thousands of his saints to execute what? Judgment upon the ungodly. And he will set up his kingdom, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Thus, watch this. The Jews the predominant Jews in Israel. Let me pull up another. Let me pull up some stuff here. We're gonna stay in the same vein of this. But what you're seeing right here on your screen, or what you're about to see, because this is live, this won't pertain to those that are watching the rebroadcast of this. But this is the temple in Jerusalem. This is a depiction of the future temple in Jerusalem. Revelation 11 talks about this. This is where a lot of this is going to go down. This is where the Antichrist will set up his throne and declare himself as God. He talks about that in Thessalonians. Paul talked about that to the church of Thessalonica. Daniel the prophet mentions this in the book of Daniel. This is where it's all going to go down here, this temple. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 speaks of this. The Antichrist will one day oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. It's right there on the screen. Or that is worship, so that he sets his God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, it's interesting. I want to pull up this. I thought I had this on here, a survey. Here it is. I knew I had it on here somewhere lined up. I just had to find it. Now, this was conducted. You can see this on your screen. It conducted in 2017. It was a survey of 599 Jews born from 1984 to 1999. This was done by the Jerusalem Post. And it points out here that 1/5 of Jewish millennials believe Jesus is the Son of God. How many? 1/5. Now, this was in 2017. So why am I telling you this? Because we have to understand this, that the majority of the Jews in Israel are not Messianic Jews. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They do not believe that. This is why these rabbis, these mystics, they hold to the Talmud. And when they read the Talmud, they are interpreting and understanding the appearance and the arrival of a Messiah that is the depiction of what we just explained to you as this king ruling Messiah. This is why, guys, when Jesus appeared the first time, he was rejected by the Jews. Because you do realize the gospel came first to who? The Jews, but they rejected him. And thus God raised up a man called Saul of Tarsus, who God transformed to be the Apostle Paul, who God raised up to be a preacher to the Gentile nations. So he shifted from the Jews to the Gentiles. And that gets me to the next part that I want to talk about. And we're going to pull this up. We're going to go through a lot of scripture. I want to go to the book of Romans chapter 11. I want to show you where we are present tense and where we're going future tense, and why this is important that all these Jews in Israel are preparing for their Messiah. But again, is it the Messiah that we know as Yeshua? Listen what the Apostle Paul said here. This is Romans 11. I say then, has God cast away his people, the Jewish people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God, again, this is Romans 11. God has not, Romans 11, verses 1 through 8. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know that the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? Listen to this. I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Now, you've got to listen to verse 5. Even so then, at this present time. Now, of course, this was written in Paul's time, but this still holds relevance today. So I could say this, doing no harm to the scripture. Even so then, at this present time of November 29, 2021, there is a remnant, somebody say a remnant, according to the election of grace. Now, what is Paul meaning here? What he's saying here is there is a remnant of Jews in the earth, howbeit in Israel as well, who have a revelation of Messiah as the Son of God, as of Yeshua, Jesus, the Son of God, as the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of Man. There is a remnant. I'm going to read the rest of this real quick, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace, otherwise work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it. So in other words, Israel is seeking the Messiah. They're seeking the revelation of Messiah, but the elect have obtained it. The elect, the remnant, understand this revelation. They have received this understanding. Now watch this. And now listen, let me read this again. Israel has obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it. And the rest were blinded. Who was blinded? The Jews who rejected Yeshua, Jesus, the Son of God. They were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. I'm going to read the rest of this. Romans 11:11. I say then, they have stumbled that they should fall. Or I'm sorry, let me back up. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But listen to this. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Come on, some of you, we need to thank God for that. We need to praise God for that today, that because of their blindness, we have been given the opportunity, the mercy, and the grace to obtain this salvation. Verse 12, now if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more for their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles. Now stop. Paul is shifting gears, and now he's speaking to everyone who is not a Jew by birth. He's speaking to Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if they're being cast away, now who is they? They're Israel. If they're being cast away as the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Now listen to this. For if the first fruit is holy, who is the first fruits? The Jews, the Jewish people, Israel. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree, who is the wild olive tree that he's speaking of? The Gentiles, us, most of us listening to this today. We, listen to this, verse 17, we were grafted in among them. I said among them. God has not forgotten them. God has not forsaken them. Now listen, I understand there's a whole movement out there, and I'm not going to name the movement. You can go and study their ideology and their belief system, but they are absolutely racist to the core, and they're very racist against a lot of different ethnicities, especially whites. And I'm not going to get into that, but they believe they're the true Israelites, and it's just, there's a lot of hate, and there's a lot of animosity, and a lot of racism and prejudicism. But listen, God has not cast them off. If some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Let me finish this, and then I'm going to say something. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Praise God. Well said. Listen to this. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Now, let me say this. I'm going to make some more people mad here. The roots are Hebrew, are Jewish. Guys, can I tell you that the entire Bible has Hebrew roots? How far do you want me to go with this? Jesus and the apostles conducted, performed, and carried out practices that were Jewish. They celebrated Feast of Israel. They didn't celebrate Easter. They didn't celebrate Christmas. They didn't celebrate Thanksgiving. They didn't celebrate Halloween, but they did celebrate, come on, the Feast of Tabernacles, Hanukkah, which was one of the minor feasts, but not one of the major feasts, but they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, Tabernacles, Trumpets. They celebrated these things. They went to the temple at the hour of prayer that was custom. Oh, I could go on and on and on. And see, we got a lot of Christians today, and we got a lot of churches today, and we got a lot of leaders today, and we got a lot of denominations today, and a lot of organizations today that want to take the Jew out of the Jewish roots out of the Bible. But you can't take the roots of the Bible out of the Bible, because the roots is what sustains us. Well, I don't believe in all that Jewish stuff, and that's pulling us into Judaism. Listen, you better get used to the feast, and you better get used to the understanding of the new moons and the Sabbaths and all these things, because I can go to the book of Zechariah and show you that when the true Messiah comes back and the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he sets up his kingdom and rules and reigns for 1,000 years, we will be participating of these things. So you might as well start getting practice in now while you can. But that's a whole other topic, and I don't want to get into that today. I want to stay on subject, and that is, there is a Messiah coming to Israel, but will it be Yeshua? So we got to get back on this. Let's go back. Let's move on. We got to read some more here. Let's go back to Romans 11. I got to finish what Paul was talking about here. Now, let's really quick recap. Remember, Paul is telling you here that through the unbelief of the Jews, not accepting the Messiah, it opened the door for the Gentiles to obtain salvation. I hope we're all on board with that, right? And listen, if you don't agree with that, then you just refuted scripture. You're bucking up against the word of God. It's not my opinion. This is the word of God. This is what Paul is telling us. Listen, now here's where it really gets heavy. Ready? Paul said in Romans 11, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion." Now listen, you got to hear this next part. Blindness in part. Somebody say in part. Blindness in part has happened to who? Israel. Watch this. Until something happens. Ready? What is the something? The fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. And he quotes a scripture, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Guys, listen to me. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, what in the world was Paul talking about when he said until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in? Now, I'm going to give you my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. You can agree. You can disagree. We can have this conversation at the end of the day. We're probably going to have some agree, some disagree, and that's okay. But I'm going to present my case the best that I can. This is my opinion, and this is what I stick with of all the 23 years of studying, researching, little by little, here a little, there a little, scripture with scripture. I believe the fullness of the Gentiles is the, and only God knows, the sovereign number of Gentiles that will come into the kingdom of God, born again and grafted into the covenant. Now, I'll remind you, let me give you some scripture to back all this up. Matthew 24, 14. I'm going to get a drink of water real quick. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The end of the world? No, the end of the age. So through the gospel of the kingdom being preached around the world, Gentiles are being grafted into the covenant. Why? Because of the unbelief of the Israelites, of the Jewish people. But it's temporary, according to Paul, Romans 11. They are temporary blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. So eventually, whatever that sovereign number is of Gentiles that will be grafted in, don't ask me to explain this, guys. Again, even Paul said it was a mystery in Romans 11. He said it was a mystery. When the cup, the book, the bowl, the whatever it is that God is measuring the number of Gentiles that will be saved in this age, when it reaches its climax, a major shift will take place and a supernatural, powerful event will happen, I believe, simultaneously. And it's called, and here it is, this is where, if I didn't stir up any devils, this is where it's going to stir up some. I believe this is key to the timing of the catching away or the rapture of the church. Ephesians 1, 9, and 11. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed for himself, that, listen to this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, did you see that? There's a fullness of times. There's going to be a climax reached. And look what happens at the dispensation of the fullness of times. He, that's Yeshua, that's Jesus, that's the Messiah. He might gather together. Or actually, let me back up. He is God, the Father. So I want to apologize for that. I got carried away here. He being the Father, listen to this. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth in him. Now notice this. Again, let me recap. Dispensation, fullness of times. There's going to be a gathering together by the Father, all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. You see that gathering together? Guys, come on now. Where does this sound familiar? Oh, that's right. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Who is this? The Father, listen, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Again, this passage in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18 absolutely correlate with, and they hinge together almost like it's a hinge on the same door as Ephesians 1, 9, and 11. Now let me go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, this is John the Revelator, 95 AD. He gets this, he has this supernatural encounter with God. And listen what he says. After these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open. Let me talk to you for 2 minutes about doors. I can take you to the book of Genesis, and I can tell you that right before judgment came, there was a door on an ark that was built by Noah, who was standing as a mediator between the people and God himself. There was a door that was open. He was giving them a space to repent and come into the ark. Anyone that could had the ability and capability to come, but they chose not to. And it was God himself who, once Noah and his family got into the ark, God himself shut the door. And when the door was shut, the rain began to fall. The fountains of the deep were burst open, and judgment came and fell upon the world. I can take you to Genesis 19, and I can talk about a door. I can talk about how there was two angels that showed up at Lot's house, and I can talk about the men of Sodom came barging at the door of Lot's house. They wanted to come into Lot's house because they wanted the angels to come into the streets so that they could have relations with them. But Lot pleaded with them and said no, and he tried to offer them his daughters. Why would a man of God do that? Who would offer his daughters? Guys, the reason why he offered his daughters is because he knew that these men had no interest in women, and they wanted the men only. And at the door was this exchange. And read in your Bible, Genesis 19, the angels of the Lord reached through and grabbed Lot from the door and pushed him in. And the angels struck blindness to the men at the door. So there was an exchange at the door, and judgment came. I can take you to Matthew chapter 25, and I can talk about the 10 virgins, and I can talk about how the five foolish, were not ready. They didn't have their lamps full of oil. Their wicks were not trimmed. They didn't have fire. And they went out searching for oil. At the midnight hour, the Lord returned. And the Bible says he showed up. And these five foolish virgins showed up at the door and tried to come into the bride chamber. And he said, "Depart from me. I don't know you." So there's a door. And then we go to, here we are again. See, the Bible, guys, it's really not that big of a mystery. When you study these things and you know parallels and you know line, on precept, and you see these things, I'm going to give you what Perry Stone, I'm going to give him credit for this. He said this many years ago, and it's always stuck with me. The Old Testament is the New Testament revealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament, or the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. They don't contradict one another. Come on, they weave together in harmony. So I showed you three examples of doors, and I'm sure there's probably more than that. Now, then we go to Revelation chapter 4, and John says, after these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open where? In heaven. And the first voice, which I heard. So the first voice, so he sees a door standing in heaven and he hears a voice speaking like a trumpet. And the voice saying, come up here. Now, where in the Bible, it's called the law of first mention. Where in the Bible did we read about a door or something opening in heaven as a place of transition from one place to another, a voice and a trumpet and come up here? Oh, that's right. It was in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Notice the door that John saw in Revelation 4. The door was in where? Heaven. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. So there's a voice, the voice of an archangel. And notice it says, and with the trumpet of God. So you have the voice, you have the trumpet. And look what happens. The dead in Christ rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Let me go back to Revelation 4. Voice or a door in heaven, voice like a trumpet, and it says, come up here. Now, here's what's interesting. John says, I will show you things which you must take place after this. Now, hold on. I know people are saying, what in the world does this got to do with Israel, the Jews, and a Messiah? Well, you're just going to hang on to the end. You can hang up on me and turn the channel, but if you don't wait to the end, you're going to miss it. John said, listen what John says, that the Lord spoke to him. So he has all this, and I will show you things which must take place after this. After what? The voice, the door opening, the trumpets, or the voice speaking as a trumpet. Come up here. Now listen what John says, and he says, now I'm going to show you things that's going to happen after this event right here, which I believe is the rapture of the church. Listen what John says. So all this happens, and then he says, immediately I was in the spirit. Because guess what, friends? Flesh and blood, according to the book of Corinthians, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And that event that I showed you in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, our spirit will be caught up. Not our flesh and blood, our spirit will be caught up. Well, I don't believe that can happen. I'm sorry, but according to my Bible and the old covenant, Enoch was flesh and blood and was walking with God. And the Bible says, and Enoch was just before God, and he was not, and he was taken. He was caught up and he was transported to heaven. Elijah the prophet was caught up into heaven in a chariot of fire. So God has already performed this. Now, consequently enough, now let's get to the original part of what we're talking about today in today's topic, today's podcast. I know this is a little bit longer today, but I believe some people will enjoy this. So just hang on. When you go to Revelation, look, so all this happens, Revelation 4. John says, I heard the voice like a trumpet say, come up here. I was in the spirit. And read it, Revelation 4. And he's immediately in the spirit. He's at the throne room of God. He sees the 24 elders. He sees all this stuff. Then you go to Revelation 5. And immediately after that event that happened to John in Revelation 4, you go to Revelation 5. He starts telling you that, hello, that Jesus begins to open a scroll that the prophet Daniel was told seal up and open at the time of the end. So Jesus was the only one found worthy to open this scroll. And once he opens this scroll, you begin to see this chorus of living creatures, the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim. You see all of heaven rejoicing. But then after this, you go to Revelation 6, and then guess what happens? That's when the horse and its riders begin to come on the scene. And my friend, the church is no longer mentioned from Revelation 4 on. Now, don't get me started on, well, what about the saints? The saints are mentioned, and Satan comes and he overcomes the saints. You look up the Greek word saints. The word saints is not just the church or the ecclesia, but those saints there can also represent Jews. And the elect, the Jewish elect of God, watch this, that gets me back all the way to the beginning where I started with this thing. I know it was a long way back around. Let's go back up here. Watch this. So all these rabbis, the Sanhedrin, the mystics, they're all preparing for the revealing of their Messiah. He's coming. Some of these rabbis and some of these mystics have even claimed that they have spoken to Messiah. And I know you guys that are listening to this can't see me, but I'm throwing up air quotations and sarcasm. Some of them have claimed that they have spoken to the Messiah in private, and that he is about to make his appearance. And thus, there's all this excitement going on in Israel. Well, we've got to prepare the oil for the Messiah to anoint him. We've got to start rebuilding the Jewish temple. By the way, that's Revelation chapter 11. We've got to get the temple rituals ready. We've got to get the articles of the furniture ready. We got to get all these things. We got to prepare for the Messiah. Here's the problem, my friends, is according to the scriptures. Watch this. Do you know what happens after the church is taken out of the way? That's what he says in Thessalonians. The restrainer is taken out of the way. He who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. I do not believe that is Michael the archangel. That's one interpretation that a lot of people hold to. I don't believe Michael the archangel is restraining the Antichrist. Doesn't even make any sense. But the church, when the church is taken out of the way, watch this, in Revelation 4, we get over to Revelation 11. And you know what it says in Revelation 11? And then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. This is this Jewish temple. This is the third temple, this temple that will be rebuilt in Israel. This is not in heaven. This is on earth. Well, that temple's not a literal temple on earth. Really? And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the outer court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. Well, dummy, that can't happen in heaven. So that cancels out that interpretation. This is a literal temple that will be built in the time of the end. Now watch this. And they, the Gentiles, will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Guys, the Antichrist is going to invade Jerusalem and set up his headquarters in, guess where? The temple. This is where he sets up his headquarters. This is where he sets up his throne. This is where he sets up his command center. This is where he will be when 10 nations give their power over to him. Because he comes up as a little horn, according to the book of Daniel, but he starts out small and he rules with a small army, and then he becomes great. And then he begins to take power. He overthrows Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. Read it. It's in the book of Daniel. And then he sets up an abomination that makes Jerusalem desolate, the image of the beast on the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Let me go back here to Revelation 11. And while he's doing this, the kings of the East, which I believe China will be involved, they're going to get sick of the Antichrist because read, if you go to, oh my Lord, I don't even have time for this. I shouldn't even open this can of worms, but I can show you in passages of the Old Testament where the Antichrist will begin to control the gold, the silver. He's going to control currencies. He's going to form a new, he's going to form a global religion. He's going to form a global currency. He's going to be the head of the new world order that's going to involve buying, selling, and trading that will require those left behind in the tribulation to take a mark, a number, or the name of the beast on their forehead or their right hand, because he will work together with the false prophet. All this is going to be happening. He's going to control the oil. He's going to control the gold, the silver, the agriculture. Come on. He's going to control all this because I can show you in the Bible, there's likely going to be famines happening. There's going to be droughts happening. There's going to be hyperinflation because you can go read it in Revelation 6. There's coming a black horse rider with the scales, and the cost of bread will be a whole day's wages. So guys, all this strain is happening to the world, and the kings of the East are going to collaborate together, a 200 million man army, and they're going to march over the Euphrates River, which will be dried up probably from a drought, and they will come and they will attack the Antichrist. Here's thus fulfilling, treading the holy city underfoot for 42 months. This is the Gentiles that will tread it under their feet. But watch what happens here. In the midst of this, God raises up the two witnesses, which he calls the two olive trees, the two lampstands. They will prophesy for 1,260 days. They will be able to cast fire down from heaven. They will be able to shut up heaven so that no rain falls on the days of their prophecy. They will have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and they will be able to strike the earth with plagues as often as they desire. Now, friends, again, if the church was here and we're supposed to possess, come on, whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We have the authority to bind and loose, and all authority that Jesus had, he said he'd given to us so we can do greater works than him. Friends, why is the two witnesses in Israel preaching the gospel with this kind of authority and this kind of power? The answer is because the church will not be here. But that's not even what I want to talk about today. What I really want to emphasize here, guys, is I believe there is coming, again, Israel is anticipating a Messiah. And I believe, here's where I want to close. A Messiah is coming. Oh yeah, there's going to be a Messiah coming. And this Messiah is going to come, and he's going to come demonstrating the attributes of the Messiah ben Joseph that the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, the mystics are looking for. He's going to bring peace, resolution, tranquility. He's going to bring all this. But it's, listen to me, but according to the Bible, it's going to be a false peace. Because remember, Revelation 6, the white horse and rider comes with a bow with no arrows. And every scholar that studies the book of Revelation will tell you that white horse and rider is not Yeshua. It is not the Messiah, but it is the Antichrist. He is the white horse rider. Listen to me. the Messiah, this Messiah that they're anticipating, looking for, he's going to show up. And according to the book of Daniel, he is going to be the only one in history, over 2,000 years in history. He is going to bring peace to the Middle East. He's going to bring peace to Israel and to all the surrounding nations. And it's going to be a false peace that will last, according to the Bible, for 42 months or 3.5 years. And listen, all these guys are going to be rejoicing. I believe it's going to be the Antichrist, if you've not catch my drift of where I'm going here. And they're going to rejoice over this guy. They're going to anoint him with oil. They're going to prop him up. They're going to make him the Messiah. They're going to make him king. They're going to make him leader. But what did Paul say? When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Watch, just when Israel, because again, listen to me, guys, these rabbis and these mystics, they have a lot of power in Israel, political power. They have a lot of power there. Now, just roll with me for a second. I know we're going long here. We've been almost an hour on this segment, but I've got to get all this out. This is a powerful segment if you're willing to listen to me. If this guy showed up on the scene, and according to the book of Daniel, when the Antichrist appears, he will speak great and pompous words, great and swelling words. The Bible says he will even speak and bring, he will bring revelation to enigmas. In other words, he will be this great, elegant speaker. Oh, well, that doesn't that sound familiar? Do you know that in history, there has been tyrants, there has been leaders that have been very elegant speakers, and they were able to sway crowds through their speeches. They were able to magnetize people with their speeches. They were able to bring wars with their speeches. They were able to bring peace covenants with their speeches. They were able to change diplomacies with their speeches and with their tongue. And this guy, this Antichrist, who I believe is going to be their Messiah, because remember, guys, there's only an elect remnant that believe Jesus is the Son of God, but the majority will fall for this falsehood and they will be deceived. The Bible says in Thessalonians, even the very elect would be deceived, impossible. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they'll believe the lie. And in the book of Daniel, it says when this Antichrist comes to power, he will attempt to change times and seasons. Wow. So this guy is going to, he is going to deceive so many people, guys. The Bible says the whole world will wander after the beast. I'm telling you, will you really be surprised if the Antichrist is worshiped as a Messiah? You shouldn't be, because the Bible says he will. He will even declare himself as God. And you say, well, that's him. I'm telling you, there's going to be a great delusion, and everything is preparing for that day. Let me say that again. I want you to let that soak in. This is why, when you say, how many times are you going to talk about this subject? How many times are we going to rehash this? I'm going to do it as many times as I can and as many times as it needs to happen for you to get this to your head. We need to be aware that great deception is coming. And I believe with all my heart that everything is being prepared for the Antichrist arrival. Now, I don't believe, listen to me, I'm going to say this again. This is my opinion. Don't get mad at me. Believe this is what I believe. I do not believe that the church, Listen, I've always believed that the church will be removed before the Antichrist is revealed, and I based that on Thessalonians. So that's where I stand. And that's why I always emphasize, you don't want to be here when this man is revealed. Okay, so I hope this makes a lot of sense to you guys. I know this was a lot to consume. Listen, if you guys are truthers, you like truth, you like eschatology, you like end times, you like Bible prophecy, then of course you're going to love this. But guys, I get people all the time and they're like, you just need to make these segments 15 minutes long. Listen, I've tried that and I just can't do that. That's why we're going to take as much time as we need, and we're going to talk about this stuff as long as we need to get everything out. I try to give to you what God gives to me and reveals to me, and I don't put a time limit on God. So I always tell people, listen what you can, listen what you can't, listen to how much you can when you need to, come back, but you know, stop, go do what you need to do, and come back and listen. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, that's our main landing page, it's our website. If you've not downloaded our free app, please get our app today. It's on Apple Play Store. It's on Google Play Store. It's available on Apple phones, Android phones. It's free. Get push yes to push notifications so you can get all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as these podcasts like this that are free. They're available for free. You can listen, you can watch, and you can get all that right there at your fingertips. If you've not yet prayed about becoming a monthly partner, if this ministry is a continual source of blessing, a continual source of information, revelation, and equipping on a weekly basis, and you want to help us, and you believe what we're doing, and you want to stand behind what we're doing, and you want to help support us, then pray about that and do as the Lord lays on your heart. You can do it two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give through check or money order, and you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Guys, we're going to sign off for today. Again, it is the 29th of November. Tomorrow's the last day of November. If you can believe that, that's a profound. We're almost to the last month of the year. We plan on being back on here tomorrow. I've got another segment that I'm going to talk about tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. We'll take a break on Wednesday, and we plan on being here on Thursday and Friday as well. So we got a whole lineup. We got a whole week lined up for this week of podcasts. We hope you enjoy them. Again, don't forget to subscribe, hit the bell to get notified of when we are live on YouTube or on Rumble or whatever the case may be, whatever platform you're on. We appreciate you saving or sharing this message, inviting people to listen as you would. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.